Anyway, we're going to praise the Lord with 255, as always we do, on the wonders of God, the blessed assurance that we believers have. Praise the Lord. Blessed assurance number 255. To you again after a long day of service, and we want to close the evening reminding ourselves of what we learned this morning, the wonders of the service of the local church. Teach us tonight, give us a great example from the scripture, encourage our heart, and teach us to remember what is our work of service in this world. Bless us as we praise your name. As we always do, we want to praise your name. We want to say great things about our Savior, the one who motivates our life to be together. Thank you, O God. And we pray for those who are not here tonight, for those who are doing different things with the families, that you bless them and you cover them with your grace. And we pray for those who just turned the internet on and they are listening to Bethel Baptist Church service. Bless them, Father, and put the light of God into their heart. And Lord, may the joy of the Lord be our strength tonight as we close the day praising your name and remembering our work of service here in this world. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. We will encourage you to choose a song, and if you are listening over the internet, you may choose also a song. Don't be so excited that Life Wednesday we don't have a chance ourselves almost to choose because of the amount of people, but we will take your call over the internet too. I see a hand of a little boy over there in the back. Okay.
295.
All right. Well, from here, I see only the head, all right? 295. has wanted to have a report on Pacific Hill, Brother Ralph. They were a good service.
Good service. Lee Prater was speaker.
Oh, good.
About 27 people.
Oh, right. That's wonderful. We'll keep the light going. Just to remain deacons and pastors after scrambling for days. Finally, the eyes fall on Sunday. So next Sunday, God's willing, another intense day. We have morning service. Then we have afternoon activity of Valentine Day. Right after we have the luncheon, and then we have the afternoon activity of the Valentine Day. When that is over, by around 3 o'clock, we have the deacon board meeting, a long deacon board meeting this time. We'll be expect 3 or 4 hours together. So it's good. All right? So finally, we stamp it. Any wife in opposition? No? All right. Good. All right. Approve. All right. I got in trouble myself. I approve it for Saturday, and I had to be in Lodi on Saturday. And Joby approved it for another day, and he has to go another appointment. So what a busy life in America, don't we? A very busy life. All right. Señor Andrew. Yes, sir. Oh, this guy. All right. 497, he said. Yes, sir. Well, this is a nice lawyer, son, when I can read my title clear. But we don't know this song, my son. We don't know. We have very few people. We'll see. Can we try it? We try it. We try it. And you sing aloud. You said 497, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lawyer's law.
It's 479.
Yeah.
479. Oh, 479. Oh, all right. 479. All right, get all these crowd, your few come here, right here. 479. All right. Come on, Thomas and Daniel and Rayana. We have the pastor choir meeting right here. Right here, this is the pastor's choir, the new pastor's choir, right here, Marcus. Okay. This is the new pastor's choir, new version. They're 479, and I was a scared for 479. Where they are today. All right? So thank you for choosing that, and thank you, Mama, for clarifying what was in his mind. See, that's a mother, you know, that knows what is in the mind of the young people. All right. Okay, another song. Brother Brica.
17.
You're a bad boy. You don't came this morning.
17.
All right. No, it's a bad boy. No hymns for him. He came this morning. Number 17.
Thank you.
432.
Next one is 432. And Chris, what is your son number?
497. Okay.
490?
The one with each other. Okay.
Yep.
I'm
on
the solid rock.
Okay, that will cost you a Starbucks coffee on Wednesday. All right, 432, rescue the perishing. Yes, indeed. All right. Text of the scripture that this week has been good to you, and I want to read for you what I read this morning. I think I have it here. Yeah, right here on Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul wait in silence for God, for my expectation is from the Lord. And as I pray this morning, this was in our calendar, text calendar, and it's so good to know that we need to focus on the Lord. We fail, some people fail, that's all right. Your expectation is from God. And then you need to pray for grace to overcome that failure, and then God will give that. As I pray in the morning, my expectation is from the Lord. Psalm 62, verse 5. And yeah? 256, okay? We move to 256. The person who loved this is in heaven singing this. It is well with my soul, Brother Vitola, who was here, the Bible reader, before our Brother Plica was here. Brother Vitola will read the Bible with that Italian flavor, all right? And so, it is well with my soul, and then you're thinking on all the text of the Bible after this song, all right? It is well with my soul. Assurance that it is well with my soul. All right? One text from the scripture that you read and it was really good to you, you can share it with me if you remember what you read. All right? If you remember the text that you read, then it would be good to share and to enjoy. Brother Chris.
I don't know the exact verse, but it says, Paul says, one thing that I do, forgetting the things behind and looking forward to the things that God has.
Yeah. All right. That's that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. All right. That's a great, great text. I leave things behind and I move forward. All right, Bernie?
Mine was in Matthew 27:51. And I read it several times, but it was, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two and from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep had risen. It never dawned on me at that moment there was those who went to heaven.
Yeah, that is true. Now, when I visit people in the hospital, my first question is, what text of the Bible, or what passage of the Bible, is your flavor, is your favorite? Norma Lopez, Deborah's mother, says Psalm 91 in verse 1, and she's in bed, and she's at the hours, and all kinds of things, and I read it for you, it's just beautiful. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a great text for a person to have, and that's Norma Lopez, that's Deborah's mother, right there, and pray for her. I thought she went home, but she's still in the hospital with difficulties. And, you know, I have these, our brother Mike Dowell, I was home doing something, boom, the hospital again. So we had to visit, there was a dehydration. You never know, when you get older, all things happen to you, all right? And you visit more doctors and more hospitals than anybody else in your life. That's when, if you're older, you don't move to a region that there is no hospital close by if you want help, you know. All right, number 2 or 3, how many, or whatever number is now, you let me know. Maria. Okay, we try. Nobody's complaining to us. 353. All right. 353. Leave it there. We'll let Raquel play the whole hymn once. Song. We're going to sing it together, all right? 353. That means trust, is that right? Trust. Testings of our life, tests our trust. Are we going to trust or not? That's what I like what David said. My expectation is from him. And you put your expectation up to heaven. Now the one who owns the cattle on the thousand hills, he's the one who controls everything. So that's beautiful, alright? He can heal anything. He can provide anything. So we can have expectation. All right, that's my hope. All right, one more song. One more song. Do you have one special, Mrs. Sotero? She likes 512. All right, good. Here we're going to sing Saved by Grace. Indeed, we are saved by grace. Okay, here we are.
Thank you.
much, Raquel, for playing again for us. And we like you to have a note on the sermon that followed this morning's sermon, which is entitled The Church and Her Service. In the morning we have learned Christianity and the Church, and we have pondered about the foundation, the formation, the fellowship, the future, and the function of the Church. Now, we zero in, and one of those, all the things we talked, we zero in and one. And the one that we're going to zero in tonight is the service of the Church. All right, so I have provided for you an overall picture in the morning, now a detailed picture of the service of the Church. We are in the evening trying to clarify, enlarge, and explain a little more about what we talk in the morning. We already have in this evening service talk about the Church and her doctrine last Sunday, and now we're going to zero in on the Church and her service. God's willing, coming Sunday is no evening service, but on the first Sunday on March, we will talk about the Church and her organization. And from then on, Brother Christopher McCain will speak for three Sundays, and Pastor will be back in the pulpit on April the first Sunday for the evening service. Now, let's talk about the Church and her service. What the Church supposed to do? That's a very important issue. This morning, we address all these topics on what the Church is supposed to do. Now, I have more time in the sense of more relaxing, and we're going to look in a paragraph of the Scripture, in another paragraph of the Scripture, to see our responsibilities as believers in Christ. This morning, we talk about the seriousness of respecting the Church that you belong to, and now we're going to see, we as a body, what we're supposed to do. The first thing we're supposed to do is to build herself up, or to build yourself up. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. This is a well-known passage in Ephesians, and Paul is revealing what God has done and given us grace. As Pastor Stanley said this morning in his sermon, God has revealed grace to everyone different. The Holy Spirit has given us gift to everyone different. When you get a whole body, you have a bunch of people with this gift, a bunch of people with this other gift. But God has given us a different gift. One of the gifts that God has given us is listed here. The few people are endowed with that gift. And we're going to look on it because that gift refers to the Church itself. Let me start reading and comment as I read. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he is Jesus, gave some the gift of apostles. Now, some of the prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, let's see how many gifts are here. One apostles, two prophets, three evangelists, and four pastors, and five teachers. Pastor teachers, says some people, but the N is there in the original. So I have to say some people have the gift of pastors and some the gift of teachers. Now, can anybody today claim the gift of being an apostle, which is supreme authority on the Scripture, or and on the life of people? Or can anybody claim the gift of being a prophet to tell you what God will do tomorrow? All right, I think no, because if you move your Bible to chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, and on verse 20, there the Bible specifies the time in which the apostles and prophets operate. The Bible says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, what part of the building of the Church are the apostles, and what part of the building of the Church are the prophets? They are the foundation. How many times you lay the foundation? Only once, is that right? So therefore, nobody can claim today, come to us and say, I have the gift of apostle, or I have the gift of a prophet. Now, you can use the word prophet, and saying revealing God's truth. Then you're no longer a prophet. There is another word for that in the Greek language, is kerusonton, which is the word to proclaim God's word, and not to reveal God's word. Who revealed God's word today to your heart? The Holy Spirit. All right. Now we got that right. Now we go to Ephesians 4, and now in verse 12. Now, why did God give us this gift of evangelists? Some have the gift of pastors, and some have the gift of teachers. Why? Verse 12 and 13 explain. For the perfecting, and the word is katarismas, where the word charismas come, and means for the training. Or the training. Charisma is the practice of a profession in an excellent way. They dramatize the people and glue to the people. That's charisma. The practice of a profession, they really draws the people to that person who practiced that profession. And here it is. For the training of the saints, for the work of the ministry, or the work of diaconia, which is the work of service, for edifying, building up, the body of Christ. In other words, this gift of evangelists, pastors, and teachers, these three gifts combined together do one thing in the church. They build up the body of Christ in the knowledge of God and in the practice of God's word. Now, how far do they go in the teaching? How deep will they go in the teaching? Look at the verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith. Or we can say, till we all reach the unity, reach in unity the faith of God. And then the Bible said, and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. I want to change the word perfect to the word mature, because we will never be perfect here on earth unless God looks to Pastor Thomason, Pastor Otero, and he sees perfect man. Why? Because he doesn't see Pastor Terry and Pastor Thompson. What did he see? Jesus. Praise God. So here it is. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and on the knowledge of the Son into a perfect mature man, into the measure of the maturity of the fullness of Christ. Wow! The Pastor Otero and Pastor Thompson and the teachers of this church have a job to do. Have you ever thought, teachers, when you prepare a Sunday school class, you are preparing that Sunday school class to the point that when you finish teaching, you have catch those people into the truth so much that they will be better with Christ after you finish the class? It is a drama for me before preaching. A drama in my heart. I have it from the time I finished the seminary, that I will not do a good job to teach you enough so that you can see the reaction of God in your life, and you can see the scripture and lift yourself up because of that, and your life is shaped in the body and in the maturity of the fullness of Christ. Not just of Christ, the fullness of Christ. God is no putting words for putting words together. These words enhance the responsibility of an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. This is no light gift. These are heavy gifts where bring the responsibility to those that exercise a great responsibility. Now, look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. In other words, when a pastor, the group of pastors, evangelists, and teachers teaches, they should grow to that position so that the members of the church do not wonder about what they believe. They really know what they believe. All right? And carry about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, somebody knocks your door and says, hi, I'm from this denomination and I'm going to sell you this magazine to you, and this magazine tells you that there's 144,000 people that are going to go to heaven. Are you one of them? Then you smile. And you say, oh my darling, come in, sit down. Let me read the scripture for you. Here are the people that go to heaven, people who were evil in their heart. People who were really without God. You read Ephesians chapter 2, is that right? It's people without God, people without nation. But Christ died on the cross of Calvary and have united us in one heart, and now we go to heaven. And the person will say, no, but there's 144,000 that go into heaven. Oh, my God. Let me explain. And you read this. You're never upset about it. It's just like that. There are other people that come with another ideas. And you smile and you look in the scriptures and say, now let me tell you. Now that's the job that Pastor Thomas and myself and the teachers of this church have. To teach you, to enable you to defend yourself, to stand strong in what you know. All right. Now look in verse 15. And speaking the truth, how? In love, considering the other person. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body filled is joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make the increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. Boy, that's loaded. So here it is, the church service. The church service is to build yourself up. In order to build yourself up, you need teachers, you need evangelists, and you need pastors. So, if somebody today said there is no more pastors, you see the damaging in the church? If somebody said, oh, there is no more officers in the church today, do you see the damage that God can cause in the body of people? I hope you do. And I hope you appreciate your pastors and your teachers, and I know you do, so that you know that our work is to build your spiritual life so that when the crisis in the world come, you have the spiritual strength to confront it and survive. All right, that's one. Now, the second work the church has to do is explained in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28, the very last chapter of Matthew, and is to evangelize the world. Not just to evangelize Morgan Hill, or to evangelize Gilroy, but to evangelize the world. And was given this command to people that do not have a church yet, and they don't have electricity, they don't have radio communications or anything. They have the two legs to walk and a horse to go by. And they did evangelize the world. Paul said the whole world knows about the gospel when he was in Europe. So let's read it. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to start in verse 16. This is what Jesus said. This is this history and what Jesus said. Then the 11 disciples went away or proceeded into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Remember, Jesus had told them to go over there. And when, verse 17, they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, the word power is the word authoritia, where you got the word authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's why when the Congress of the United States and the House of Justice said that we have to separate religion and the state, wrong. The state of United States House of Justice, United States Congress, cannot separate the Lord Jesus from controlling it. If we separate it, it's dead. And that's so important. They think, well, Jesus only for the church, but not for the Congress. We do what we want to. You do in your church what you want. No, sir. Jesus said this nation should be ruled in this way. That's why we need senators and presidents and people who are believers, so that they are under higher authority. One of the greatest things Bush had faced on the first term of his presidency was the people said he prayed and he believed his prayer. And the people were really in trouble because President Bush believed the prayers that he prayed. He believed in God. He said, not only he goes to church, he believed. And that's a trouble. That's what they said. That should be the reverse, all right? We have presidents who say they believe in God, went to church and did crazy things. But this one, he believed in God and he will do what God said and pray. And that's what the Bible says. Now look at the command of God in verse 19. Go ye therefore and do what? And teach all nations. Actually, the word teach is the word didaskalos, which imply a participle, and didaskalos is a verb, a participle, to indicate making disciples. Through your teaching, you make disciples. So the best translation would be, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. No longer now the Jewish people, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In other words, he is again exercising Jesus, the authority that God gave him. And he said, your job is the local church. It is the job also of the world. And your gift, whatever gift God has given you as a church, between evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you develop that gift so that you reach the world. Now listen carefully. Our church has a peculiar gift in this pastor who's speaking to you. I'm a radio pastor. I know how to communicate in radio, and radio has been my super gift. When I get into the microphone, it is gluing people in, whether in South America, or New York, or whatever. I'm still receiving letters now that the primary radio have put me back into the air in television and so on, and people still writing. And each pastor will have a different gift. And the pastor's gift will develop that church and that criteria. Our church is a global church. I receive emails from Japan. I receive emails from Europe. I receive emails from all over the States. And it's just so beautiful because it's my gift. Now, when the next pastor stay here and be the head pastor, his gift will be seen. And God's going to bless that gift. And God's going to bring people on. You see, God has given different gifts to different areas. God did not say that we have to be all equals. And so the congregation has to feel the gift of the pastor and support him and going in that gift. When the new pastor comes in, he will have a different direction, a different way, because he has a different gift. And that's the key. But both pastors have to do one thing, evangelize the world. They had to have a heart for people to receive the Lord. I said to the choir before coming here, I pray in the other room before we come here. And I said, Lord, may Jesus Christ be clear through the choir singing, through the Bible reading, and through my exposition. That's my dream. The people will see Jesus in our presentation. And so to evangelize the world is the key. Now, we can do that in two ways. If you look in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, and in verse 8, we can do that personally. We have to do that personally. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. When Jesus was questioned about, in verse 7, in verse 6, he was questioned when he will return. He did not answer that question, but rather he said in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witness. The word witness is the word martureo. You will suffer for this unto me, both in Jerusalem, that is locally, in Judea, and in Samaria, that is in the neighborhood, and unto the uttermost part of the world. That's individually. You people, one by one, should be a witness, one by one. And Thursday night, I was in Carmel in a dinner in a Swedish restaurant with the Mennings family. And the owner came in and sit down over there. And he started talking about God. And we talk about God. And I said, I wish I had a car. You know, you feel that you fail. You don't have a truck or a car. And my wife had it. And so I said, all right, you come here. And this is for you. This is for the other. Sit down. And he looked in the big car of the church. And look at what a business car this church has. The cars are made in Texas. They're big. You know, he said, wow, and look at the service you have. You spend the whole Sunday in church. He says, unbelievable. That was then when he asked me, what type of jobs do you do in church? Because he goes to church, they have selective readings of the Bible, And then after that, they pastor come in and have jobs for 20 minutes and they go home, everybody happy. And every time more people come into the church. But then Brother Manny said, but you are not saved, you're going to hell. He drink a little more wine. He said, what you said? You know, and then he say it again. He drink more wine and he said, well, let the music go. And we have Swedish music and Austrian music, beautiful vowels and wonderful. And we keep on saying to him, and what about the Lord? And he looked at it and oh, yeah, put it here for some clients. No, we have another one for you. You know, and it was outstanding. That's individual. That's personal. You go and load gasoline. Remember when we had the attendants coming in and they put the gasoline? You just give one track to the person. You pay a toll, you give a track together with your money. In other words, that's personal evangelism. You move on. You see every person you see from morning to evening, one target to evangelize. That's where you live now. You don't live for making money. You don't live for this. You live with one passion. And the passion is, I need to evangelize personally. Now, you can do this in the whole world. How? Look at Acts chapter 13. This is what our church is doing. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Not all of you can go around the world and evangelize, so we have what we call missionaries. Here is the first time missionaries were selected. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Now there were in the church, there was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which was being brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul is Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the whereunto I have called them. And when they have fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This is called missionaries. That's the first missionaries. And you know that we thank the Lord that a little church of Syria, about one quarter of the size of this church, sent these guys all over Europe. And we know the gospel because of them. You see that? Without telephone, without radio, without electricity, and without Starbucks coffee. You know what I mean? The people had to feed them and send them away. But these people, they were not stupid. They were doctors, philosophers in the theology. These people were the cream of God. And when they taught three or four people. And these three or four people taught other people. And they move on. And you hear about the church in Iconia. You hear about the church in Lystra. 10, 6, 7, 8 people. But those people move on and on and on. By the year 157, the whole northern border of Africa was hot for the gospel. Amazing. Amazing. All right? So the next world, the job is we need to build up in the faith and we need to evangelize. If a church doesn't evangelize, the church dies. We need to evangelize. We never need to lose that. Then we need to help the brethren. Go with me to Philippians here, moving your Bible. And you will see in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 15 what the Bible says about helping the brethren. We call that benevolence. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. See, that's the support of the ministry. And this church does very well. This church have learned to support the ministry. Always think they can do better. But this church have learned to support the ministry. In other words, Paul said, nobody care about me, but this church really care. And so this is supporting the brethren that are working in the ministry, supporting the brethren that need it. One time Paul took the offering that was for himself, and he brought it to Jerusalem and gave it to the people that were hungry, they were with a famine. And he just brought the money over there and took it to the churches. And so we need to build ourselves up in the Word of God. We need to evangelize the Word. And then we need to support the ministry. Help the brethren who are in the ministry. All right? And then I will say this. Each one of us has a peculiar gift to reach some kind of people. Not all of us can reach everybody. So we have a body. I feed the body. Brother Thomason feed the body. And the body goes out. And you have the ability to do something that nobody else has. You only. Now let me show you in the scripture. That happened in the scripture. Look at Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 15 and verse 24. When they talk about Gentiles, Jesus said this in Matthew 15:24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was Jesus' function. Nevertheless, at the cross he saved a Gentile. But his function on this earth was to what? To Israel. That was his function. Let me show you another verse. John chapter 1 and verse 11. His function was to reach the Israelites. And look at what happened. Chapter 1 verse 11. He came unto his son, and John chapter 1 verse 11. He came unto his son, and his son received him not. Then did he fail? No, verse 12. But as many as received him, to gave him, gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not the will of man, but after the will of God. And so here's Jesus providing one kind of ministry. God gave Jesus one kind of ministry. Go and tell Israel, I'm the Messiah. That was his ministry. All right, now let's look to Paul. Galatians, please. Chapter 2 and verse 7. If you go to Galatians in chapter 2, in verse 7, you have here Paul's ministry. Look at what it said. So, contrariwise, ye are rather to forgive him. And go, let me see where I am. Chapter 2, verse 7. Yes. Galatians. Oh, I'm in Corinthians. Oh, no wonder it's not the right place. All right, I get over there. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. Now Paul is speaking. What is the uncircumcision? That is the Gentiles. Because Gentiles are not circumcised. Only the Jewish people are circumcised. And so Gentiles are not circumcised. So the uncircumcision of the Gentile, the gospel to preach to the uncircumcision was given to Paul. Now Paul, what did Paul did in Acts? He went first to? No, the synagogue. He went to the synagogue. And he get beat for going to the synagogue. You know, he didn't understand. You know, he said, but I'm a Jew. I want to go this place, Paul. And God said, not that. Each time they go to the synagogue, he get beat, until God put him in jail and then sent to the Gentiles. And here is witnessing to Nero. All right. Now, look at in the same text. What Peter supposed to do? In chapter 2, verse 7, say, contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter. Now, I wish the Catholic Church will understand that. They say, Peter is our vicarius, that means a representative of Christ. But Peter was only narrow to one kind of people, the Jewish people. His preaching was not given to the Gentiles, his preaching was given to the Jewish people. Paul is the vicarius, if you want to call somebody, who went all over the world. And so, you see, what is your target? You have to find out. As you talk to people, you get rejected here, rejected over there. What is your target? You know, who is the people who listen? I tell you who listen to me, the Americans. The Spanish, they hate it because I just so strong. I said, you need to be clean in this country. You need to go to work. You need to stop any money you come from disabilities and so on. You need to stand like a man of God. And boy, they get mad at me. But I go to the Americans, they listen. Now, there is another guys, missionaries, that talk to the Spanish people, and they are attracted to them. I go to Nicaragua, and go to Guatemala, and the person who allows me to go to his beautiful house said to me, there is hundreds of people that will be waiting for you. They have your number. They know you're a soccer player. They will listen to you. I went to them. They escaped. As a matter of fact, we went in the restaurant one time. We were alone. They were scared to death to talk to me because they were living with women rather than marry. And one time I brought a big piece of paper and said, now I'm authorized to marry you. Well, no, you know, even the waitress I can find. They all left. But then I'm on the beach. I see a beautiful dog. Hold it. And here is an American woman coming in and saying, she trying to speak in Spanish. That's my dog. I said, oh, I know. There are people here. I never saw anybody on the beach. So here's your dog. And she said, what do you do for a living? I'm a psychologist. Said, I'm a pastor. And boy, we glued together, that's Mary and Jerry West. They're now members by extension in our church. See, God got a gift for everybody. The fact that I speak Spanish doesn't mean I have to have a gift for the Spanish. I don't have it. It's too tough for them to hear these words from me. And I did it on radio. In Spanish radio, 13,000-14,000 a year they were coming in. All right? But, you know, you have to know, what is your gift? Maybe your gift is to communicate to your children. Maybe your gift is to do good things for people. My gift of my grandmother, when she cooked, she always brought food for every neighbor. And every neighbor loved her. And she said, I do that because I love Jesus. What a testimony. You know? And it's just an impart. You have a gift. You have a gift. You maybe know a pastor, you maybe know a teacher, but you have a gift. Communicate Jesus with that gift. The service of the church is to communicate Christ to a crazy wall. That's the service of the church. There is an organization that united all the churches. Well, a few years ago, 30 years ago, what is it? World Council of Churches. I never saw such an evil thing. Like a World Council of Churches. We need to feed the poor, and we need to do this, and we need to do the other. And, that's not our function. Our function is to feed them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once a person is free inside, doesn't matter what that person leaves, he or she feeds herself. When I came to this country, I knew zero of English. So I get my job. But times went by. I said, I better go to the school. I better take my license. My $400 that I brought, go like this. I put bricks on it. I know how to put bricks. So I built big walls. I was earning $7.50 an hour in 1965. I did my own mix, my hand. I had 165 pounds. My wife liked the style of my body. Why sweat? I did it until an engineering company called to a place I was in Hayward and said, we have a place for you. And I remember the owner of the company was a Portuguese. And he said, is there an engineer around here? Somebody called here. He said, oh, it's me. I'm sorry. No, don't tell me you're going to go. He said, yeah, I had to go. But why you did this job? Because I need to feed my family. And he has a little hat. He took his hat off. He said, thank you. He said, you teach us something. I said, well, I love God. God loved me. And I saw you putting bricks. I asked you for a job. And you said, you know how to put bricks? Yeah, I know how to put bricks. And we did it. Easy here. They even give gloves here. Over there, in South America, they don't have gloves. You know, it's just fantastic. Union, I don't need union. I don't need this. I said, how much you want? No, I don't know. I just put bricks and you tell me what you want to pay. And when he saw that I don't fool around, he paid me good. Listen. That's God for you. But we get all of these national things and all of these things around and all of these taxes that we pay because people are lazy. And God said, if you do not eat, if you do not work, neither you eat. You know, simple. And so, listen, the church of God need to have a testimony. Need to have a testimony. I remember when I preached, I finished the seminary and I preached in San Francisco for 1 year. In the church. I preach in Apollinario's church and I preach in San Francisco. And I said one time at the end of the service, how many are illegals? Oh boy, half of the church. Say, get out of here, go to your country. And one lady walked forward. He said, you know, I was secretary of the president of Guatemala. but I earn more washing dishes here than there. I said, are you a believer? Yes. This is not your place. You get out of here. If this church is going to be blessed, it's going to be blessed by clean people before God. Oh boy, she left and she always had received a card and a letter. How blessed she was. She got her job in the White House over there back and she said, that's what I belong to. Now I can pray with a clean and integrity in my heart, she said. That's what we need. That's what we need. But the church of God needs to give the example. The example. May God bless us. That our service is to be fed with the gospel, teach the gospel, and with our life of integrity. And the world will respect us. Thank you, Father, for the lesson tonight. Service, service, and the truth that we believe. Teaching people that we stand in the truth and that we are the living example of that truth. And Jesus, we thank you for your teaching. Amen. Amen.